kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, joining as usual, Cole. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm fucking alive.
Are you?
There goes our monetization. Isn't it like if you cuss within the first 25 seconds of a video or something?
Is there?
Yeah, it's like a YouTube law.
Huh.
Where if you like cuss within the first 15 or 25 seconds or whatever it is of the algorithm, like you automatically get demonetized.
Well, so, good thing we have a theme song. We have a 30-second theme song, so I'm not worried.
Gonna have to ask for a longer version just to be safe.
Also, we're not monetized.
So we can get those, like, 2 pennies every 3 years.
I think I need 1,000 YouTube subscribers to be monetized, and I'm at, like, 904.
God damn it.
I gotta do more contests.
Yeah. More contests and like, I don't know. Student fusses at us that we should be doing tags and all kinds of shit. Because Student like made a YouTube video 2 months ago. And he's like, oh, I've already got like 1,500 views. And I'm like, the fuck did you do?
Well, how? I put tags on all the videos.
Well, apparently you need to like tag it pussy or something.
What video did he make?
He made some kind of video about a cell phone.
How long was it?
Sid is a cell phone nerd. Fuck if I remember. I had to try to put me on the spot. Like, I actually paid attention to what my friend did.
Well, I'm gonna say that what's probably like a 2-3 minute long video is a lot easier to digest and watch than a 2 hour long podcast.
Also true. I don't know. Probably knowing him. If it's about phones, I had him sitting droning for 2 hours in my ear about phones.
Oh, God.
He probably could do a podcast about them, but I don't know. Probably not quite 2 hours long.
Well, the SML phone cast.
Yeah. Could bring him on to do cell phone reviews for us.
Yeah. That's what we need. More, we need a longer show. That's what we need.
In today's segment. Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. So what have you been up to this week?
It's been a crazy week because The Division is a thing.
Yeah, obviously.
And I have so much to do still. And also, we've been tearing our house apart, and I think I've mentioned this the last couple of weeks. It's been about a month-long fiasco at this point, but we're putting in new floors and stuff in the kitchen and the bathroom and painting and new appliances. I say new. It's new to us.
Yeah.
Like somebody had that shit before, and that's fine. It's fine. Look, not everybody can cough up $200 and get a new fridge and a stove.
So $200 for a fridge and stove sounds like Craigslist.
There's a guy that we got them from where basically when people post that they have junk appliances, he goes and picks them up for free, and then he just orders the parts and fixes them and resells them. And so he only sells everything for $125.
Damn.
Yeah. And then, because we bought two, he let us get them for 200 instead of 2.25.
But yeah, we discount.
Yeah. So we got a new stove, new in air quotes, a new stove and a side-by-side refrigerator. That thing is huge. It's so much bigger than my old fridge was. And sometimes I just look at it and I go, I don't know how we got that in the door. I'm not really sure how David pulled. I know we had to take the doors off of it to get it in.
Yeah, usually do.
Yeah. So it was a thing. Well, and I say, but we didn't have to take the doors off the old one to get it out. Because we have the wider door frames in our house. Yeah. And David's brother was a shit carpenter, and everything's just like oddly shaped.
Oh, God.
But he did do one thing well, and that was he made wide door frames. So I guess that's useful for whenever they throw my ass in a wheelchair. But that has consumed a lot of our time this week. It's just painting fucking everything, new floors, and just being responsible adults, and it's fucking awful.
See, at least you have reason to be sore and tired. I messed up my back this week, and I don't know what the hell I did. It just started hurting. I felt like I had a crack in my back, and I tried, you know, touching the elbows behind the back to get it to pop, or like leaning over a chair and trying to get it to pop that way. I couldn't get anything to work, and now it's just been hurting all week long. Like, I can't even move around in my sleep. It hurts that much.
See, that sounds like me, but I don't want to tell you what's wrong with me, because otherwise you're going to be, like, freaking the fuck out.
Why?
I have compression fractures in my spine.
Oh, geez.
And that's what the whole thing with having to go, like, to physical therapy and stuff was about, although I'm finally free of physical therapy hell. And I got my approval for my MRI. So they could finally send me to a neurosurgeon.
Damn.
And start fucking that bitch up back there.
Fucking that bitch up.
Yeah. I mean, it's already, you know, got multiple breaks in it. So people are really lackadaisical. Remember how I was like, oh, people are weird about rheumatoid arthritis because they don't think that it's anything more than just arthritis like your grandpa gets.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, you know, I have compression fractures in my spine. And they're like, oh, it's just a fracture. And I'm like, no, it's literally like 30 little breaks everywhere. Like, you could see on the x-ray, there were just, it looked like spider webs all over my vertebrae. Oh, my God. So it is not a good look.
You wear it well.
I know, I do. Hey, look, I might be fucked up, but I will go in there and I will paint that kitchen for 10 minutes at a time if I have to.
Oh, geez.
David's like, go in there and paint as long as your arm can stand it. And I'm like, two swipes, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Your turn.
Oh, God. Did you even do anything? Shut your mouth.
It's a miracle he lets me do that much, because usually he, like, as soon as I start trying to get physically active about shit like that, he starts threatening to get the mop and mop me into my chair. And he's done it. Like, I've been, like, getting up doing laundry and shit, and he'll be like, no, you're too busy and you need to sit the fuck down. Like, but I got shit to do. We got three kids to take care of. We can't just be, like, sitting here looking at the computer as much as I'd like to be. And he'll go get a bucket and some water and the mop and, like, mop a square because he knows I'm terrified of falling and breaking my fucking leg again. That's all I need to do. Let's tear up the other one. Fuck, I have a matching pair.
Oh, Jesus. That's hilarious that he'll just start mopping the floor to make you sit down.
And it works. It really does. Jesus. Don't tell him I said it works, though, because he'll do it even more often.
Oh, my Lord. Your life is insane.
Nah. It's the redneck in me. Can't help it.
Well, we should probably get to talking about video game news, because that's what this show is about.
Fuck it. Let's go.
We should, huh?
Yeah. Sometimes video games, they do things.
Yeah, they do. A lot of news this week. We'll start things off. Games with Gold for April were announced. Have you seen these?
Yes.
Decent lineup. Xbox 360 for the first half of the month is getting Star Wars Battlefront 2, the OG Xbox game. Mm-hmm. And then the second half of the month, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2, which also coincidentally joined the backward compatibility program this week.
This is a good game.
I don't have it, believe it or not.
I used to have it. I think we traded it in, so I'll be glad to get that back. I like the Tom Clancy games, if that's not noticeable.
Yeah, I can tell.
I haven't met one yet that I haven't enjoyed. So,
hey, whatever works, right?
Bring it on.
Xbox One for the whole month of April is getting the Technomancer, and then April 16th through May 15th is getting Outcast Second Contact. Decent games?
Yeah.
Kind of like middle of the road. It's I don't know.
I have a hot take.
Let's hear it.
I think PlayStation has a better lineup this month.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Even with only two games?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that leads us to PlayStation Plus for April has also been announced. And for PS4, they are getting The Surge and Conan Exiles.
Yeah. It's definitely a better Conan.
I'm used to Conan O'Brien. Yeah.
That's the way I say it too, even though I know better.
Conan.
But the Surge, I know I've heard a lot of good things about it. I think you played it and enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I saw Carnage fumble through it like a jackass.
Shocking.
yeah. And then, but somehow I missed out on it and I didn't play it. And I saw somebody talking about The Surge and Conan, and I was like, oh, that's gonna be Games Gold. And then they were like, oh, it's PlayStation. And I was like, well, fuck. Because congratulations to everybody with a PlayStation that gives a fuck about trophies. Because that's like a 15-minute completion.
Conan.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you cheese it.
If you cheese it. Now, if you did that shit legitimately, you'd be here for like 4 years.
Yeah.
So just cheese it. But, and then play the game regular, because it's still a lot of fun. But it's a quickie.
I don't know. I couldn't get into Conan. I'm not good with survival games, like survival and crafting. I don't want to do that stuff. I would have preferred it being like an action RPG instead.
Yeah, that sounds about right. See, I prefer the crafting and survival stuff over the action RPG aspect.
So we're polar opposites.
Yeah, that's basically why the survival DLC for the first Division was the best part of the game. And that was because it got rid of the RPG shit and put you in a survival situation. I'm sorry, Joe.
It's okay. I understand. Hey, you've been playing more RPGs anyway.
I have. And I don't say it like I don't like RPGs, because I definitely do. And I'm genuinely surprised. I've gotten better since the reviewing, where like I pick up on genres and stuff in a way that I didn't used to. And I actually know what some of them are now. And I'll be playing, and even if I'm playing something that I'm not reviewing, I'll be like, oh, look, that's an RPG element. And I'm like, wait a second, I didn't used to know that. I would have just been like, oh, that's a thing this game does.
Hooray for experience points.
Yeah, I leveled up.
But yeah, I think overall it's a pretty even month in my eyes. I think, obviously, you're getting more games on Xbox and a wider array of games on Xbox, but they're two bigger titles on PlayStation, so kind of a wash.
I will say people seem a little displeased that we are still getting old school Xbox games instead of 360 games now.
See, I don't mind it.
To me, free game's a free game. At least They're still keeping up with it, because if they were just caring about keeping up with Sony as a competition thing, then they could easily drop the 360 games, and they haven't.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with it. But
I will definitely take four games over two. A lot of people are still pissed that Sony hasn't done anything to make up for getting rid of PS3 and PS Vita games in Plus.
Yeah. People they're not thought gonna.
That they might add it like an extra indie game to PlayStation, or add a VR game or something. Oh, man. Doc Havoc, what about Def Jam Fight for New York? Oh, my God. I would lose my mind if that was made backward compatible. I fucking love Fight for New York.
I didn't play it.
It's to me, it's the best wrestling game ever made.
That would be why I didn't play it.
It's like a wrestler, fighter, brawler game, up to four players. All Def Jam characters, obviously. Wow. It was really, really good. Def Jam Vendetta and Def Jam Fight for New York were two really, really awesome games. And then they came out with Def Jam Icon and fucked it up, because they changed that to a one-on-one fighter where you're supposed to fight to the beat of the music. And it was just awful.
I feel like I remember seeing that one.
Yeah, that was on 360. Fight for New York was only on original.
Like, oh, I would play that because I like fighters.
It wasn't good. Especially after how good Fight for New York was. Icon was just, oh, Doc Havoc. Def Jam Icon snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Pretty much. That is very accurate. Oh, well. But yeah, that was the only Tom Clancy Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 was the only game added to the backward compatibility lineup this week. I'm kind of getting bummed that we're only seeing like one game anymore. I miss when we would get 3-4 games each week.
You know, I'm starting to become convinced that there's like this whole treasure trove of games that they're just sitting on. And then something big is going to happen and they're like, surprise, here's another 100 games.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. It's probably wishful thinking on my part. I have no reason to believe that that's what's happening. I just want to believe that's what's happening.
I have a feeling if they announced 100 new backward compatible games, I would probably own like 80 of them.
I mean, that's a given. I would be surprised if it were only 80.
Hey, there's been a bunch that I haven't owned coming out recently.
I mean, if you consider 5 a bunch.
Out of 6, yeah. Percentage-wise, I haven't been doing too good lately. I don't own Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2, so there's one. I didn't own Brothers in Arms from last week. There's another one, although I did order that.
Uh-huh.
The best part is I ordered it on Amazon, and my Amazon credit card had some cash credits that were just accumulating. And for Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway, it cost me 61 cents.
That's shipped. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. And that's not even the only good Amazon deal I got recently. I ordered the Generation Zero Collector's Edition off Amazon.
Yeah.
And obviously they fucked up and they didn't ship it on time. So I was fucking furious about that. They gave me a $10 credit, which I used on the Titan Quest Collector's Edition, normally $120. After my $10 credit, I got it for
$22. Wow.
Yeah, it was down to $31.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I ordered it. I'm excited.
Got a good deal.
I like having shit. You're going to see a new helmet in the background of the video eventually, I'm sure.
You don't have enough shit on your shelves.
I don't.
You need more shelves.
I do.
And shit to fill them.
I mean, I could put a shelf over there. I could put one back there. I mean, there's plenty of room on these shelves over here that I could go higher on.
Oh, my God.
I have problems. Yes. Let's see. What other news was there? Did you see the newest Twitch Prime offer?
No. What's this?
Twitch Prime is offering 12 months of Nintendo Online membership as their most recent bonus.
Really?
Yes. You could get 3 months now, and then after 60 days, you could get an additional 9 months as long as you've had a persistent Prime membership. So you get a year of Nintendo Online just for being a Prime member.
Do they send you a code for it or something, or how does it work?
You link your Twitch and your Nintendo accounts together, and they just automatically credit you however many months. So I got 3 free months today, and then in 2 months, I'll get another 9.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a good bargain. Now Xbox needs to do that shit. They won't, but they should.
If there's a catch to it, it's just that it's an individual membership instead of a family membership. The individual is the one that's $20 a year, and it just counts for one person. The family membership, I think, is $35 a year, and that works for everybody on the console. So it's only an individual membership. If you already have an individual membership, it extends it. So you're still getting those months. If you already have a family membership, it doesn't do anything for you because it's that only blows, individual.
Though. I didn't realize that there was extra charge for having a family membership.
Yeah.
That is one thing where Microsoft excels, because on Xbox Live, I have a 1-year code put in, and then it's good for all of our accounts on different Xboxes.
Yeah.
So we can just share.
Well, it's good for everyone on your home console.
No, because David's account is under my family, and he can play on
The whole family thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah, if you have it set up as a family, then it shares even across multiple consoles. Like, number one has been able to go to her friends and sign into their consoles and play, even if they didn't have Live.
Yeah, it'd be nice if Nintendo did that, but for $20 a year, I guess you can't complain too much.
I've also heard their online service sucks, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
It is not the greatest. But hey, getting a free year from Twitch, thanks. Works for me.
Free is always good.
Free is always good. What other news? Way Forward has announced that Shantae 5 is coming later this year to Xbox One, Switch, PC, PS4, and Apple Arcade, which is a new premium subscription service for iOS.
We haven't even talked about Apple Arcade yet.
I know, and I wasn't really planning on it because I didn't follow it too much, despite the fact that I have an iPhone. I don't know. I don't need another subscription service, so I didn't pay attention to it.
You know you're going to end up with another subscription added to it.
I don't really game on my phone that much, so I don't think I'm going to.
Did they announce, because I didn't follow it either, but is it like, I assume it's going to be a thing where you can be like, add it to my phone bill and not even know it?
Possibly. I really don't know.
Weird.
Yeah, as far as I know, I would assume it just comes out of your balance or whatever your iTunes backup payment is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm subscribed to ESPN Plus through my phone, and I just get a $5 charge like through iTunes once a month. Yeah.
See, I don't have any Apple devices, so it's an Apple-free family.
I like only my Apple's- iPhone.
The only apples that come through the store are the ones you can eat.
Crab apples.
Oh, I actually grow those. I love them.
Oh, God. Borderlands 3 has finally been announced at PAX East.
This is a tiny little game that nobody's heard of. Why are we talking about
nice
this?
Nice little indie. The trailer looked awesome. I can't wait to see more of the game.
So, here's the part where I say that I haven't ever played Borderlands, and you tell me that I need to go do that shit, and then I say, yeah, by next week, and then I don't go do it, because Devil May Cry 5 is still in my backlog. So,
well, the good news is, if you haven't played Borderlands, the original Borderlands is getting a Game of the Year edition for Xbox One and PS4 that's releasing April 3rd.
Oh!
So the original Borderlands getting ultra HD visuals, 4-player support, a mini map, gold chests, all this fun stuff, all these upgrades coming to current consoles, and it's going to be a free update on PC. And yeah,
nice.
It's April 3rd, so it's next week.
That's a pretty big deal. Did they announce a release date, or is it just surprise? Look what we're doing.
Borderlands 3. I didn't see a release date.
Okay, I gotta say though, even though I did say I haven't played Borderlands 1 or 2. I watched Shiz play them. And then that was my extent of my experience with Borderlands.
I think you would love Borderlands.
I feel like I would. I said that the whole time I watched Shiz play it too. I was like, this is something I don't know how I haven't played it. It's a pew-pew. But watching the trailer, I was just like, I have no idea who these people are, and yet I can understand why somebody would think this was cool as fuck.
Everything's pretty.
Yeah, I was just like, look at all the shiny explosions. And then it's like, oh, and there's 1 billion guns. And I'm like, okay, now that's just excessive.
Yeah, it is.
I just need one assault rifle.
Until you find a new one.
Shiny assault rifles.
Yeah, you're always finding new, better equipment in Borderlands. So
it's a looter shooter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh. See, I don't know why I haven't played it.
I think you would love Borderlands, so you should check out the Game of the Year edition that's releasing on April 3rd. Also releasing on April 3rd, the Handsome Jack Collection is getting Xbox One X and PS4 Pro upgrades.
Hmm.
And even better, Awesome Prime just came in and dropped 4 biddies, so...
Dropping bits
indeed, George.
Little bits.
Itty bitties. So yeah, a lot of Borderlands news. I'm excited. I'm pumped that Borderlands 3 is finally announced.
I mean, at least you guys didn't get the Left 4 Dead 3 treatment, and where they just never make it. So I'm proud. You know, congrats for the Borderlands fans. You guys get your 3. Fuck you.
I'm happy. Hooray.
Every time anybody gets a 3rd installment to a game, I'm just sitting over here like, yeah, but Left 4 Dead didn't happen.
I just hope Borderlands 3 is good, because I loved Borderlands. I loved Borderlands 2. Borderlands, the pre-sequel, just didn't do it for me at all.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
So I'm hoping Borderlands 3 brings the series back to what made it fun.
I mean, it looked cool as fuck, so there's that.
It did.
But, you know, at some point, because of all the, like, pop culture references in that game, at some point, Claptrap is going to do the Fortnite dance.
Oh, geez.
You know it's going to happen. He's going to be flossing his way across the screen. So, you know, that's my payback for never getting Left 4 Dead 3 and you guys getting Borderlands 3, is that now you have to dream about Claptrap doing the floss.
I wouldn't be shocked.
You're welcome.
Surprising news, Torchlight 2, a game from like 2012, is hitting consoles this fall.
Have I played Torchlight? Why does that sound familiar?
Well, Xbox 360 got the original Torchlight.
I swear I've played it.
You might have.
It sounds so familiar.
It's good. But yeah, Torchlight 2 hitting consoles. Specific consoles were not announced. And all they said is that additional details will come at a later time. But if you are a fan of dungeon crawlers and your Diablos and whatever else, you are in for a treat. Is Torchlight 2 coming to console?
Well.
Hooray.
Yay. It's always good when games make it to console, even if it's 74 years later.
And I've been waiting for Torchlight 2 for years to hit Xbox.
Well, I bet you're happy.
I am. I was thrilled when I saw the news. I'm pumped. And it looks like Awesome Prime is pumped, too.
Yeah.
Kaz Hirai, the former CEO of Sony and the current director and chairman, is officially retiring in June. They say he will remain as an advisor to the company, but he is officially retiring. And I'm sure he's going to enjoy spending the rest of his life with his family and Ridge Racer.
Yeah.
So congrats, Kaz. I hope you enjoy your retirement.
Yes.
Speaking of PlayStation held a State of Play video event showcasing a number of games coming to the system. It was very VR focused, with Five Nights at Freddy VR, Iron Man VR, No Man's Sky VR, a couple of other games were shown off. It just seems like Sony's going hard with VR this year, which is good.
I've got one question.
Yes.
No Man's Sky VR. Who the fuck asked for that?
A lot of people. There's a lot of people who are excited about it too.
Okay, I'll let it go.
I'll allow it. Yeah. And speaking of the PlayStation VR, it's now official. They have sold over 4.2 million PSVRs.
That sounds like a lot, but it's not in comparison to how many consoles they've sold.
Yeah. I mean, so, it's still a good number, but it's probably still only like 5% adoption.
I think the price has a lot to do with that.
Well, it's been coming down.
That shit's still expensive, though.
I wonder what the going rate is on them right now. I'm going to look this up, because why not, right?
I mean, I do on-the-fly research on the show all the time. It's not anything else. Did we review the new Power Rangers fighting game? Was there a Power Rangers fighting game that just came out?
There was one that just came out this week. We didn't get it, though, unfortunately. Oh. I tried.
Go, go, Power Rangers.
Why isn't this searching for me? Load faster.
Awesome said that he got it, to which I say, then you should have reviewed it for us. Whereas your review?
Looks like the Astrobot and Moss bundle is $2.99, and the Beat Saber Borderlands bundle is $3.49 for the PlayStation VR.
Moss is so good, though.
Moss is so good. I would love to see that come to other platforms. I think they could rework it to be playable without VR. Yeah. It would take some work to get like some of the secrets all taken care of, or at least have a camera where you could circle it around. But I think it's possible. I would love to see Moss come to other platforms.
I'd play it.
Well, I know you would.
Just right. I play everything, and there's very few things that you can put in front of me that I wouldn't say, well, I'd play it.
So what other news did I miss? I know that there was a lot of news this week. I didn't get everything. So what do you have that I didn't get?
I don't know that I wrote anything. I don't even have my notes in front of me like I normally do.
That is very so helpful when you're doing the show.
Watch me open my notes and like have a whole big box full of shit that I don't even know what week it is. Oh, no, I have nothing written down. Boy, I'm the best.
Helpful. Well, can you think of any other news that I didn't mention?
No.
Well, I guess.
I was going to have us talk about the Apple thing, and then we already went through that, so never mind.
Yeah. Awesome Prime mentioning that Elder Scrolls Online is free to play on Xbox, I believe until April 3rd, actually.
Wasn't Morrowind free, but it was only for one day, and that was it. And then you couldn't get it after that for free.
Through Bethesda's website. So yeah. It wasn't for Xbox.
But it was still free, and you can't get it now.
So that is very helpful.
I was partially there.
That is very helpful to tell people after the fact that, hey, you missed a free game.
Sometimes the news is not on time. You didn't say, did I have any timely news or any breaking news? I just happened to remember that, yes, at some point this week, that was news.
All right. Well, then I guess that's my own goddamn fault.
Best co-host.
Well, I guess if that's all the news, are you ready for reviews?
Fuck yeah, let's go.
We're speedrunning this son of a bitch. Holy shit. We're only a half hour in. First game to talk about tonight is called Windscape, developed by Magic Sandbox, published by Head Up Games, released March 27th on Xbox One and Switch, and out of Steam Early Access for $19.99. In Windscape, you play as a young girl living on your parents' farm, set in a lovely world made up of floating islands in the sky. As you discover the world, you learn that something has gone terribly wrong. Islands are breaking apart and falling from the sky. Cole, tell us about this one.
So this game has got an absolutely adorable, I want to kind of call it, I guess it is low poly. I feel like I've described everything lately as a low poly art style. And here we are again. It is a first person adventure game, kind of Zelda-ish in a way, but maybe not as epic. And that's not a bad thing. don't take that as a bad thing, but not as fleshed out, obviously, and full fledged. So you do play as Ida, who is a young girl who's on her parents' farm. She's a bit adventurous. She likes to go off and do her own damn thing. And, her father knows this. So rather than like trying to tie her down, he's just like, hey, I got an adventure for you. And then there you go. The game is a little deceptive because when I first loaded it up, I got into it. I started to explore. You could see the NPC of the dad walking around on the farm. And I'm like, I'm going to take a few minutes and I'm going to poke around and just see how hard it is to move and everything. And that's what I was doing. And I was thinking, this is, you know, doable. This could probably be kid friendly. It looks adorable. It's going to get a kid's attention. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately went to the NPC and he cussed at me.
What did he say?
So, he just says, damn. But
oh, that's not that bad.
That was where I was like, yeah, I was wrong about the kid. And I think realistically, like, I don't understand why the dad it's just the most random damn thrown in, and literally nobody else in my experience with the game has said a single cuss word. And so I'm so confused by it because he says it every time you click on him. And I'm like, damn it, why? It's such a weird thing to fuss about, but when the game seems so kid friendly, like, you know, there's parents that would be like, and clutch their pearls, whereas I don't know, number two or three can't read, and number two can only barely read. So I would probably still let them play it. But it did kind of catch me aback because I kept thinking, this is fine. This would be a family kind of game. Yeah, I was wrong.
I don't think damn is that bad of a word. They say damn in PG-rated movies.
Some do. But and I'm old-fashioned and redneck, and I go, when people say damn in kids' stuff, so.
Lordy, they said the D word.
I mean, not that I've ever, ever censored my own self around my kids, even. But I do just find it weird when it's something that's, you know, very kid-friendly on the surface, and then it busts out with damn. And I'm like, wait! And I think the bigger issue is, he says it every time you click him. Every time. It's right there, smack in the middle. But once you get past that, once you get past the dad, then literally nobody else has said anything. And it was just odd, and it stood out to me for some reason. But
you're weird.
I am, but I was really thrown off by it.
Well, it's a T-rated game, so.
Is it T-rated?
Yes.
I wouldn't have rated it well.
It's rated T for violence. It doesn't even mention mild language. That is how how nothing the word damn has become.
It's true, though. And like I remember listening to a song when I was a kid where they spelled out the word fucking. And I say when I was a kid, I was like 17, and my mom took the CD away from me. So no wonder I'm like, damn. But as far as the rest of the game goes, I'm even surprised that it gets a T. Like, it doesn't even have... The fighting feels like Minecraft fighting. Like, you literally start off with a club, and then if you smack the shit out of a couple of wolves, then you can use their fangs to make a club with teeth. And then eventually, if you're good enough, you can start crafting like swords and shit, but still it's Minecraft level of combat. And because of the low poly art style, it's not even realistic. There's not blood splatter or anything. So I'm really surprised that that's the actual rating. And I think maybe damn had more to do with it than we think. Anyway, you're going to go on this adventure. It's first person adventure. Like I said, I have one complaint about that. And either this chick is really short or the camera is really low to the ground. And I'm gonna err on the side of the second one, but it just feels like you can never really tell your position to things because the camera is so low. So you're like, either I got super short ass legs or something's amiss. And it does kind of
be a dwarf.
Could be. And I'm all about representation in games, but she don't look like no dwarf in the in the inventory screen when you're looking at her. So I don't think that's it. It just kind of bugs me when the camera is super low like that in a first person. Otherwise, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. You go around. Sometimes you beat up on some wolves. Sometimes you beat up on some bumblebees so you can take their honey, which, by the way, save the bees. Don't kill bees for honey. But in the game, you kill the bees for the honey. Also, sometimes bees have money. I don't know.
Why wouldn't they? They have allowances.
Maybe, I guess, but where do they keep the coins? Like, where did that come from? You might want to wash your hands after you pick that up.
Oh, Lord.
I will say I was surprised at how fast the game moves along. Even with just, like, within the first hour, I had already knocked out half of the achievements.
Damn.
And because they were all super mundane stuff, like you can get an axe and you can chop down trees. And it's like, oh, chop down 5 trees. Congratulations. Here's 100K for score. And you're like, oh, okay. Thanks.
Hooray.
Yay. For the most part, I thought the game was fairly easy, but I did get to one part where the difficulty just kind of spiked up. And part of it was because I was fucking up. Because eventually, you have to get to a point where you're crafting with mana, and because, you know, RPG elements. Mm-hmm. So you get to a point where you need to be able to craft with mana, and you have to craft these, these magical weapons in order to take on literally giant ghosts that are just very pissed at you for disturbing them. And with all of the other boss battles and stuff up until that point, you have pretty free range. You can move around the room and everything, and you know, you go up, you hit them a couple times, you get the fuck out of their way. Pretty basic boss battle. But when you get to the part with the ghosts, it literally puts a magic shield around you and it limits your movement. And there's almost nowhere you can go to get away from those fuckers. There's nothing for any kind of like barrier or protection. Like in some of the other boss battles, you can move around behind things that were in the room and you'd be okay. You ain't got that. And so the difficulty spike with those boss battles cranks it up a bit, and it's a little frustrating. If you've taken the time and crafted shit properly before you get there, it's not as big of a problem, but it's just still horribly inconvenient. No. Especially because there's nothing to stop you from finding those battles before you've crafted what you need. And so your only option is to stand there and try to use your little rinky-dink club to beat the shit out of some wailing ghosts that are immune to literally everything except for one specific element. And you're like, oh, that's fun. And then you just got to wait for them to kill you so that you can hope you hit the respawn point before you went in there, and then just turn around and not go back till later.
GTFO.
Yeah, it would be nice if there was some kind of, you know, warning that you're about to start a boss fight if you touch this. And there's not.
Shit's about to go down. Save now or turn back.
Yeah, and it's just weird because it's that one spot is just so weirdly difficult when everything else is like da 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 da. Whack a wolf a couple times and you're done.
Yeah.
You know. But otherwise, I had a ton of fun with it. I was surprised that it is a little on the shorter side. You can get through it fairly quickly. But it is a lot of fun, and I did enjoy it.
I do want to throw out a warning. This game severely fucked with my motion sickness.
Did it?
Yes. Very bad. Like, I got to the first village, and I was feeling nauseous, and I had to turn the game off.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why. I don't know if it was just
that low ass camera angle.
Possible. Or it could just be the low poly look of it. It just, yeah, it messed with me. So motion, if you are susceptible to motion sickness, you might want to be careful with this one.
Yeah, I didn't have any problems with it.
Yeah, but as it stands, $20 on it, what do you say?
I do give it a buy it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I think if you enjoy these action adventure type of games and you want one, usually with a game like this, you're not going to get quick and easy gamer score.
Yeah.
And so this one just popping them left, right, and center, I was like, yeah.
And they're big ones too.
They really are. I was like, this is the kind of entertainment I needed today. So I really did enjoy it. I do give it a buy it.
Awesome. Sounds good. Next game to talk about is called Smoot's World Cup Tennis, developed and published by Kaneda Games, releasing April 5th on Xbox One for $12.99. Play the funniest arcade tennis game ever, Smoot's World Cup Tennis. As you can tell, this is a arcade style tennis game. All the characters are these cute little chibi Smoot looking things. That it is adorable.
Do they say damn?
No, I did not hear them say damn.
I just had to ask.
No, there was no profanity that I saw in Smoot's World Cup Tennis. Okay.
That's good.
They do make noises, and I'll get to that in a little bit.
Uh-oh. But,
it's hilarious. There are a handful of modes in the game. There's Exhibition, there's Torment Exhibition, or there's a Story Mode. The Story Mode is obviously where all the good stuff is going to be. It goes week to week where there's different events every week. You can either do like exhibition matches. They'll have tournaments that you can enter. Sometimes the tournaments are limited to what ranking you have. So you might have to take a week off and just rest and restore your stamina. The best part about the story mode is the character customization. There are a ridiculous amount of options for your character. Eyes, noses, mouths, beards, accessories. You could, there's like 4 pages of different tennis rackets that you can get. Anything from like a guitar to a fly swatter you can buy in the game.
Wow.
My current tennis racket is a shish kebab. Just a kebab with like meat and veggies on it. And I'm smacking a tennis ball with it. It's the character customization in this game is fantastic. They have a couple of pre-made characters that are in the exhibition modes. They have like a Chuck Norris looking one. They have a Mr. T looking one. You can get some really cool looking characters created in this game. Back to the story mode. You're obviously trying to increase your ranking as you go through playing matches. The actual matches, the ball physics work really well. The game is, it's tennis. We've reviewed a handful of tennis games on the show. This is the most approachable and easiest to pick up tennis game that I've played on the show. I just lost my train of thought. it's just really approachable and easy to play. They do have, you know, slices and lobs and everything else for the people who are more into tennis and want that deep, tennis action, which, you know, you're going to get later in the game. You can change, you can't change the difficulty during the story mode, but obviously the game gets, you're making fun of me in chat. Oh, you're mean to me.
It was funny though.
You're so mean. I don't make fun of you when you lose. Yeah, I do.
At least I did it in chat, not over the air.
Anyway, in between events, when you go into events, it's going to use stamina. After events, you can either rest up during the week and just take a week off and restore all your stamina, or you could buy an energy drink and restore some stamina that way. Through story mode, you'll eventually unlock some mini games just to keep things fresh. They have things like attacking zombies or feeding seals, weird stuff like that. One gripe I have is I wish those mini games unlocked faster or were unlocked from the start, just because they're so fun and unique to play. That's the stuff that I like arcade tennis games for, just weird stuff like that. And I wish that it was easier to get into those unique experiences instead of just playing tennis, because just playing tennis is going to get a little boring after a while, because it's tennis. There's only so much you can do with tennis.
Hit the ball back and forth. Yeah,
back and forth. That's all you gotta do. Overall, though, the game is a lot of fun. A nice deep story mode. They have the exhibition matches if you're just looking for a quick pick up and play game. The character customization, like I said, is great. Lots of stuff to unlock, mini games to play, and best of all, it's only $13 compared to some of the other tennis games we've covered that are $40 and $50. Nice. If you were going to buy any tennis game on Xbox One, I think Smoot's World Cup is the one to go with.
That's funny, though, because then you have to tell people you're playing a game called Smoot's.
Smoot's World Cup Tennis. Oh, and the noises they make.
Oh, yeah, see?
That's see, before I lost my train of thought, you know that when people are playing tennis, they'll grunt.
Yeah.
The grunts in this game are amazing. Instead of like, it's, it's just like squeaks, and it's incredible. I was playing and Ashley walked in. She's like, what the fuck are you playing? And she looked at the screen and saw tennis, and she's like, that is not what I thought you were playing.
She thought you were playing genital jousting.
I would recommend buying Smoot's World Cup Tennis for the sound effects alone while you're hitting the ball. Just the grunts and the groans are amazing, and they don't fit my bearded, bald-headed character at all, but they are hilarious to listen to. But yeah, overall, it's a lot of fun. $13, a cheap price. I would say buy it on Smoot's World Cup Tennis.
Nice.
Yeah. Next game to talk about is called War Party, developed by War Cave, published by Crazy Monkey Studios, released March 28th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $24.99. War Party is a real-time strategy game set in the Stone Age era. Build your base, recruit and control a group of soldiers, fight and tame fierce dinosaurs, and direct the flow of combat. Proper management of resources, skills, and map awareness will lead you to victory. Cole, were you victorious?
No. And that's kind of terrible to say, but I also spent a lot of time just playing the survival mode on this. So basically, it's just keep going as long as you can. There are three ways to play this. It is a real-time strategy game, and you can play either AI skirmishes, or you can play survival, or you can play a campaign. There's actually three different campaigns. There's one for each faction that you can play as.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is the Necromas, where they have the ability, any enemy that they kill, they can raise back from the dead and have their own little zombie army. Or there's the Vithara, who are able to tame the dinosaurs and aren't attacked by the dinosaurs. And then there's also the Wildlanders, who are basically just your plain run-of-the-mill humans who don't do anything special. So it is a real-time strategy. It's kind of a Stone Age era real-time strategy, and that, like I said, there are dinosaurs and there are also other people. For example, in the Vithara campaign, while none of the dinosaurs do attack you, your whole goal is just that your character has decided that humans suck shit and that he needs to kill them all. And so he's going to use all the dinosaurs to go literally fuck up everybody else. So it's there are the three different campaigns, but the way that I enjoyed playing it most was just in survival, where you have waves of enemies coming at you that get progressively more difficult. As a real-time strategy, I think that this is one of the ones, if it had a better tutorial, I would say it would be super easy to get into. Sometimes real-time strategies, they can be overbearing. There's so much micromanagement that it's really hard for new players to learn. I feel like this is more on par with, say, Halo Wars, whereas you can learn it very quickly. The tutorial is shit, though. Yeah. And I feel bad saying that, because it does explain the strategy concepts, but not how to actually build these things. So it's like, oh, train two warriors. And I'm like, yeah, but how? What button do I push? I just went and it took me forever.
You push the train button.
I had so much fucking food because I figured out how to gather, but I couldn't figure out how to train. And I was just sitting there, like, everything it would tell me to do, I'm sitting there looking at it going, but how? And I gave up on the fucking tutorial and just went and played survival and did fine.
Oh my lord.
I don't understand. Because when I was trying to go through the tutorial, I'm like, okay, teach me what to do. And it didn't. And then when I went into survival, I was like, I was a bitch at Halo Wars. I was really good at that. And I'm just going to apply some Halo Wars strategies here. And it fucking worked. And it was just like, oh, I couldn't figure out how to train things because I didn't realize that it takes the Halo Wars mechanic of clicking on the building and choosing from the wheel. It was like playing Halo Wars with dinosaurs. And when I got it, I'm like, hey, I like this. This is good. And I did fine. But that tutorial was shit. Sorry to the developers, but please work on your tutorial. It really was a lot of fun to actually play through the different campaigns, though. I didn't get very far in them. And this is my biggest complaint, is basically, like, if you're not going to sit down and play through it, your only option to get back to the main menu is to just surrender and give up.
Interesting.
And I'm like, either I'm doing something wrong, or there is literally no way to get back to what I was doing. I never found a way back to what I was doing, and so I never actually beat anything, and I'm so mad about it. The concept of exploring the map, because just like in any other strategy game, you have your area that you can see, but the rest of the map is covered by the fog. And, you know, you need to send troops out and scout, find resources, and you need to be able to build up an army. I did find that this is another Halo Wars thing. And although I don't necessarily mind the mechanic, it can get a little monotonous. But realistically, in order to win anything, like I was doing with the survival mode, is just crank out as many units as you can, as fast as you can.
No.
And eventually shit's gonna fall and die no matter what else you fuck up. Which is good. But it can make the game become monotonous a little quick. You're like, okay, yeah, I just built 300 warriors. Now what?
Kill everything.
Just walk around, you know, let it all die and we'll do it again. So it does kind of wear out its welcome a little as far as that goes. Especially, I think it was a little worse in the AI skirmishes. At least with the campaigns, you had some kind of story and reasoning behind what you were doing to back you up.
No.
But in the AI skirmishes, it's like, okay, well, I killed them. Next.
And so, like, you on the show.
Yeah, it was a little more monotonous and daunting, because at least I have funny anecdotes to throw in on the show.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. And other times I'm just like, speaking of dicks. Absolutely love the character that just tames the dinosaurs, though, because he just like walks up to him and he's like, yeah, we're just going to use the dinosaurs to fuck over everything else that moves. I thought as a campaign, that was definitely a more difficult campaign, but it was fun.
Fun is what matters.
Yeah, it really is. But it would be nice to, and maybe they can tell me where I fucked up, because they wouldn't be the first devs to do that. But I literally couldn't get back to the main menu and like pick up my progress again. It was just surrender and lose it all.
Damn.
Dead face. So that is my only real complaint. Make sure you've got the time to sit there and get through it.
Well, then, as it stands, $25, what do you say?
I think $25 is a solid price for it. I didn't have any kind of glitching or anything playing it. The graphics on it are stunning. It was a lot of fun. It's fucking real-time strategy with dinosaurs. You can't be mad. So I definitely give it a buy it.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yay!
All right, We got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called Where the Bees Make Honey, developed by Wakefield Interactive, published by Whitethorn Digital, released March 26th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $9.99. Where the Bees Make Honey tells a story about reflecting on different moments from a childhood, which are played and experienced from an adult perspective. At its core, Where the Bees Make Honey is a narrative puzzle adventure game with playable childhood moments filtered throughout. Cole, tell us about this one.
So this should basically be everything I love, because it's narrative, it's adventure, and it's quirky as shit.
This is a weird fucking game. That is right off the bat. If they're looking for a box quote for their game to like put on Steam or put on a store page or something, this game is fucking weird.
It is, and it's not the kind of weird, like when we say this game is fucking weird and it's a weird horror game that's kind of daunting or weird. It's just that this is just quirky.
Yeah.
And you can tell they're trying to get a specific type of message across, but it's horribly fragmented. And unless you're purposely like going into it with the mindset of I'm looking for the symbolism, I know that it's going to be weird and I'm going to try to like pick it apart and analyze it, you're going to just kind of be sitting there like, the fuck am I doing the whole game? And it's very easy to get lost in the fuck am I doing aspect of this game, because it is that kind of weird. You'll have 3D cutscenes and moments where you're playing as Sunny as an adult, as she's, you know, going through the monotonous bullshit of being stuck in a cubicle and having a bit of an existential crisis because she's remembering when she was younger and she had all these freedoms of being a child and lost in her own imagination. And now she's just stuck in this little cube. I think pretty much anybody that has an office job goes through one of those things. So it's horribly relatable in that regard. You can definitely understand where Sunny's mindset as an adult is, at least. weird shit happens, and then you start to have like these kind of puzzle-laced flashbacks, but none
fever
of them.
Dreams.
Yeah, a fever dream would be a good way to describe it. It is kind of like a fever dream, in where you know Sunny's remembering certain things as a from how she saw it as a child, but it's kind of, I don't know, the summary says, you know, a child's experiences through the eyes of an adult, but it doesn't necessarily feel like you're looking at it through the eyes of an adult. It's just so covered and laced in symbolism and metaphorical that you're just like, it's childlike, but it's philosophical in a weird way.
Yeah.
And the puzzles, I felt like most of the puzzles were surprisingly reasonable, and you could get through them in a few seconds. I bet you're going to tell me you struggled with the kitchen, though, where you had to flip it. Because when I was doing my research for this, everybody was bitching about the kitchen puzzle.
I don't think I made it to the kitchen puzzle. If I'm trying to remember, I got stuck, or not I got stuck, but I basically threw my hands up in annoyance at the monster truck section.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too.
The monster truck section, they have different, I don't want to say mini games, but there's different gameplay elements that are sprinkled around, whether it's like a side scrolling platformer, whether it's like collecting honeycombs. There's a section where you're a rabbit running through nature that has
that one too.
The platforming in the rabbit section can kiss my ass.
Oh my God. And I want to give the developer props, because the actual movement of that rabbit is so physically sound that it was incredible to watch. Like, even the way the rabbit backs up. I've had pet rabbits. I've raised rabbits for a long time. And a lot of that rabbit's movements were very on par.
But even trying to control it.
Oh. But trying to control it is a fucking nightmare. And it was just so incredibly difficult. I bet I spent 30 minutes alone on that, just trying to get that rabbit to make one jump right.
Yeah, trying to line up those jumps was atrocious, especially when you can fall and have to start over.
I would get to so close to the end, and then I would fall, and I'd have to go all the way back, and I just want to cry. Oh. And there were a couple times where I just set the controller down and walked away, because I had to just take a break and not look at that fucking platforming section for a few minutes. It was rough. It was just, and like I said, from a physics standpoint, it's incredibly sound and it's very impressive. It's just that from a gameplay standpoint, it saps the fun out of it.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
I would say that the controls of the monster truck are equally frustrating.
Yep.
It's one of those things where you have to hold forward to drive forward plus steer left and right.
Yeah.
With the analog stick, which is very imprecise. I would have rather just have an accelerate button, either the A button or the trigger or something to drive straight. And then just the physics with the monster truck, you would hit a jump and you would just land sideways.
Yeah.
And once you land sideways, it'll respawn you supposedly close to where you were, but I made it, you know, down the big straightaway, around a turn, over a big jump, down to another turn, and I ended up sideways, and then it started me back at the very beginning. And that's when I said, fuck this, I've had enough for the night.
So you didn't get to the part where you had to collect the honeycombs with the truck?
No.
Joe, I cried out of frustration. Because let me tell you about trying to collect the honeycombs with that truck.
Let's hear it.
You make it to like this sand pit area, right? And there's little dunes and bumps all over the place, and you've got the three honeycombs and they're spinning. I cannot, for the love of all that's shiny, tell you how many times I hit the jump, launched that stupid, uncontrollable truck at those fucking honeycombs, and then they would spin as I got to it.
Oh, no.
And I would be just a tiny, tiny portion away from it. And then I bet I did it 30 or 40 times before I was so pissed off. And David's like, you need to take a break.
Yeah.
Come bust some tile with me. Because I was that far gone that, and I just had to turn it off and be done. And I feel bad because I'm enjoying the story. I think it's quirky. I think it's weird. It's a niche game that not everybody's going to enjoy, but I was having a good time because I have kind of unusual taste.
Yeah. It's where it's one of those artsy type of games where if you get it, you get it and you're really going to enjoy it. The biggest hurdle is the controls with some of these gameplay segments that you have to play. And
I actually had a second issue with the truck too.
Oh, let's hear it.
Because you know how you said you got spawned kind of far away, right?
Yeah.
It would spawn my ass right back, but the truck would immediately flip back over.
Oh, God.
Because it was spawning it like on the edge of one of those dunes, and it would fall and it would hit the dune. And then it would just topple over to on its side. And once the truck's on its side, you can't do anything but wait for it to respawn.
Yep.
7 or 8 times. Shoop, dunk, shoop, dunk. And I couldn't do anything while it went through this respawn cycle. And then one time I just sat there and was like frantically moving the wheels back and forth as it fell, and I caught and I was able to get it to stop it.
Nice.
That it was just dumb luck. And I had to sit and wait for it to cycle it through and cycle it through. That's not good game design. It's really not. And I'm sad about it because the control zaps the fun out of everything else that you can enjoy about the game. And I want to finish it. I want to go back to it. I want to see the end of it. I was breezing through the puzzles. I didn't have any kind of issue with them. And then it just gets to this and I'm like, and I got 2 of the honeycombs. I just can't get the 3rd.
Jeez.
And I've gotten within, you couldn't put a pube hair between that truck and that honeycomb. And yet somehow it wouldn't give it to me. And I don't know when I'm going to be motivated to go back and try it again. Cause I really do want to see the end.
I know it's a fun, enjoyable, quirky, weird game that just has these gameplay elements where the actual physics in the gameplay is holding it back. And that's a bummer to me.
It is. It's really disappointing.
But overall, $10. What do you say?
I'm going to give it a very hesitant try it because I did enjoy it. I do think it's a really cool story. I did like how the puzzles mixed up and how 1 minute you're in a platforming section and the next you're in a little isometric puzzle where you've got to rotate the room to get the honeycombs and stuff. I just really want that monster truck and rabbit section to be fixed.
Yeah.
And hope that there aren't sections beyond that that are even worse because I didn't make it there.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I would love to see the monster truck section, at least the monster truck section reworked. The bunny would be good too, but I got through it, so fucking whatever. I made it through that. I want to see this game polished and refined because what's there is so unique and interesting.
Yeah, and I know that there's not a huge market for these kind of artsy, quirky games. But I do love them. And anytime I see one like this, I'm all over it. Joe's like, do you want this? And I look at the trailer and I'm like, fuck, yes, I do. And then to play it and be stuck and have the controls be wonky like that hurts because I want to be like, buy this weird shit because
there's not enough of it. And it's fairly easy gamer score too.
Yeah. It's popping on left, right, and center. And it's like, there's not enough. I feel the way about these artsy fartsy games like you do JRPGs. There's not enough support for them, and there's not enough of them being made to garner that support. And so when I see them, I'm like, yes! And then it doesn't work, and I'm like, fuck! Because I have to get on here and tell people that it didn't work, and it hurts because I want it to work.
Yeah.
So please, I think the dude's name was Brian. This was made by one dude.
Yeah, Brian Wilson, I think.
So, dear Mr. Wilson, fix this game because I want to love it.
And if you patch it and improve the control and handling in some of these sections, we will gladly give the game a second look and talk about it on the show.
I've done it a million times.
It's a cool, unique game. It's just some of the gameplay elements are too frustrating to make it an outright recommendation.
Yep, but I agree.
Please don't give up because your brand of weirdness is cool.
I'm definitely behind it. I'd play more.
So what is your pick of the week? Or should we give it to Smoot's World Cup Tennis?
I think we're going to have to give it to Smoot's.
I really enjoyed Smoot's. I'm going to keep playing Smoot's.
You know, the way you keep describing it sound is like turtle sex. Yeah. And I think that might have to win, no matter how I feel. Otherwise, I'd say, if it weren't for the shit physics, then I'd say, yeah, it would be where the bees make honey. Because I was really killing it in that until...
Turtle sex tennis.
Until the monster truck fucked me up.
Smoot's was another one that was pretty nice with gamer score. It's got 50 achievements. They're all worth 20 points. And it was regularly just dropping 20 points here, 20 points there, 20 points here. I enjoyed it. It was good stuff.
Yeah, this week was good for my gamer score.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks guys.
Wait until you play Metagal next week.
Yeah, except War Party. War Party, I don't think I popped a single achievement in it after like 8 hours.
Oh my god.
Fuck.
I guess that is it for this episode. Cole, thanks as always for being here and killing time with me. And do you have any final thoughts?
No, thanks for letting me bitch about games.